Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the CEMAC Limited Q4 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference has been recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Balasubramanian from Arihant Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Julius. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of Arihant Capital, I welcome you to the earnings of CEMAC Limited Q4 FY26 con call. From the management side today, we have Mr. Naveen Mukta, Whole-time Director, Mr. Vinay Kumar Agarwal, CFO, and Mr. Sunil Gupta, VP Strategy and Investor Relations. We welcome the management of CEMAC on this call. Now, I invite Mr. Naveen Mukta, sir, to give his opening remarks, following which he will open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Bala. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of CEMAC, I extend a warm welcome to all the participants joining us today for our Q4 and FY26 earnings call. Thank you for taking the time to be with us. FY26 has been a defining year, not just only for CEMAC, but for the broader offshore energy sector. We are operating at the intersection of powerful global forces, which are reshaping energy security priorities worldwide, and CEMAC is extraordinarily well-positioned to benefit. The ongoing conflict in West Asia has fundamentally altered how nations think about energy security. Sea routes, which were once taken for granted, are now contested, prompting a structural long-term acceleration in domestic exploration and production activities. Simultaneously, strategic global oil reserves are being depleted faster than they are being replenished, making offshore exploration no longer a discretionary investment, but a strategic necessity. India illustrates this trend compellingly. The government has reduced royalty burden on oil and gas producers, reaffirmed plans to expand refining capacity beyond 300 MMTPA, and continue advancing offshore exploration through its open acreage licensing policy. In a landmark development, ONGC appointed British Petroleum as technical services provider for the Mumbai airfield, a clear signal of India's intent to enhance recovery from its most strategic offshore basin. India's growing crude import dependency not only creates strategic vulnerability, but also exposes the economy to global price shocks and rupee depreciation pressure, making domestic energy expansion economically critical. The key beneficiaries are companies with fleet strength, offshore execution capabilities, and established client relationships, companies like CEMAC. I am proud to report CEMAC's highest ever annual revenue and profitability in financial year 26, which is achieved through strong operational execution, higher fleet deployment, improved vessel utilization, and disciplined project delivery across domestic and international markets. The key highlights include successful completion of the turnkey revamping of ONGC Neelam 9 platform using MV Goodman, demonstrating our end-to-end offshore execution capabilities. Integration and commencement of operation of CEMAC Agastya, meaningfully strengthening our fleet. Two significant O&M contracts in consortium with Supreme Hydro Private Limited, a notification of award for MSC Samudra Prabha and Samudra Sevak, both covering 2026 till 2028, substantially strengthening long-term revenue visibility. We also maintain a good presence in Saudi Arabia for almost 10 years now. I am happy to mention that client and end client are quite happy with our product delivery. Needless to mention that such happy clients are precursor to not only more closer cooperation with such clients, but also provide a springboard for expanding the operation with newer clients. The offshore sector is entering a period of sustained investment expansion in subsea infrastructure, brownfield upgrades, deepwater exploration, and product enhancement. The global energy transition is accelerating near-term investment in domestic production as nations seek affordable energy during the transition period. We enter financial year 27 with strong order visibility and operationally primed fleet and a team that has proven it can deliver through cycles. The opportunity landscape ahead is as favorable as it has ever been, and we are ready to make the most of it. Just one caution looking at the geopolitical scenario. One of our vessels, Cimec Paladin, sailed off to Dubai for completing its dry dock. However, due to the ongoing war in West Asia, it continued to remain stranded in the yard until Strait of Hormuz is opened for navigation for all without any risk. Even Cimec Limited exposure to offshore oilfield services, prolonged instability or a broader regional conflict could affect contractual execution timeline, asset deployment, operating costs and overall business viability. While elevated energy prices may support long-term offshore activity, near-term disruptions and heightened geopolitical risk warrant close monitoring. With that, I would like to thank everyone again for joining us today. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Vinay Agarwal, our CFO, who will take you through a detailed overview of our financial performance for the Q4. Over to you, Vinay.
Thank you, Ravindji. Good afternoon, everyone. I warmly welcome all participants to our Q4 and full year FY26 earnings call. I will take you through the key highlights of our standalone and consolidated financial performance for the fourth quarter and the financial year ended FY26. Financial performance Q4 FY26. On a consolidated basis, revenue for the quarter stood at ₹330 crores compared to ₹209 crores in quarter 4 FY25, reflecting a year-on-year increase of 58%. At the standalone level, revenue stood at ₹316 crores as against ₹207 crores in the corresponding quarter of the previous year, showing a year-on-year growth of 53%. EBITDA at the consolidated level stood at ₹162 crores in Q4 FY26 compared to ₹91 crores in quarter 4 FY25. On a standalone basis, EBITDA stood at ₹138 crores versus ₹105 crores in quarter 4 FY25. Strong vessel deployment, improved fleet utilization and efficient execution across projects contributed to the healthy operational performance during the quarter. Profit after tax on a consolidated basis stood at ₹103 crores compared to ₹41 crores in the same quarter last year. At the standalone level, PAT stood at ₹87 crores versus ₹58.8 crores in Q4 FY25. Financial performance for the year ended March 26. For the full year FY26, consolidated revenue stood at ₹1,000 crores compared to ₹682 crores in last year, reflecting a year-on-year growth of 47%. At the standalone level, revenue for FY26 stood at ₹947.5 crores as against ₹660 crores in FY25. Consolidated EBITDA for FY26 stood at ₹447 crores compared to ₹244 crores in FY25. On a standalone basis, EBITDA stood at ₹407 crores because ₹264 crores in FY25. Cash for FY26 at the consolidated level stood at ₹253 crores compared to ₹88 crores in FY25. At the standalone level, cash stood at ₹242.4 crores compared to ₹115.6 crores in the previous financial year. ROCE and ROEE stood at 18% and 19% respectively at the consolidated level. With continued support from our stakeholders, we remain confident about sustaining our growth momentum and strengthening our operational performance in coming years. With that, I would now like to open the floor for questions and answers. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rahil Dasani from MAPL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I'm audible.
Yes.
Just a year.
Yeah, it's Rahil Dasani. First of all, sir, good afternoon. Thank you for this opportunity. And congratulations on a great set of numbers. My list of questions is around our offshore shipping segment particularly. To start with, if you can maybe share more about the charter rate cycle we are currently in. The understanding that I am getting is that there is a demand-supply gap. The shipbuilding is slow and also the age of vessels in use is very high. And the charter rates have increased a lot. So maybe if you can share more on this and where are we in the cycle?
Let me give you a background. We are operating diving support vessels, which are mainly on the long-term contract. And during the tenancy of the contract, which is 3 to 5 years, the rate remains firm. Okay. Then there are a few contracts which are spot contracts, where the rate fluctuates depending on the demand supply.
Yes.
While we acknowledge the fact that yes, the market conditions are buoyant, but large part of the business is protected or blocked because they are working on a long-term contract. We believe that going forward, as you rightly said, the availability of vessels will remain a constraint and therefore the market should remain buoyant.
Okay. Maybe if you can share a bit more specific, post-2022 we saw the charter rates doubling year on year. Is that sort of growth still continuing or has it slowed down or have we started seeing some sort of rate tapering off and reducing?
Okay. No, hi, Naveen here. So yeah. the market definitely has been quite buoyant, as you can see, as is also evident from the numbers. But it is not that much buoyant. And I wish whatever you are saying that okay, rates have doubled. I wish it would have happened. That would have been you would have been given some more terrific numbers, set of numbers for that. I guess market is one. And we are seeing that, okay, maybe for another couple of years, we will definitely continue to see this buoyancy in the market where rate will continue to increase. May not be at what we call that, it will increase at the Hindu rate of growth.
Got it. And if I were to ask you another specific question, what would be the latest daily charter rate of our vessel Diamond if we were to leave it today?
So Diamond is a vessel which is a supply vessel, which is a typical offshore supply vessel, and it is on charter with ONGC. So that contract is getting us somewhere around $8,100 or $200 a day. And going forward, when this contract comes up for renewal, we are looking at an increase of maybe around 10 to 15%, maybe possible at that point of time, depending upon demand and supply.
Got it, clear. And just to understand the demand perspective better, ONGC, Reliance, etc. have a lot of incoming projects. If I were to go specific 10 development wells by ONGC, the PRP-9 project, also the Reliance KGD-6 block, plus also the general offshore wind and port construction demand. So what sort of offshore vessel demand are we seeing across PSP, MSP, OSP, DSP? If you can quantify numbers, I know it would be very difficult, but approximate if you can give me in the next 2 to 3 years, what sort of vessel quantum demand we are seeing? Is it 20 vessels, 50 vessels, 100 vessels?
So, see, we are into the niche segment of diving support vessels. We are not into, mostly into offshore vessels. Of course, we have this CMEC Diamond, which is offshore support vessel. But this you can consider as an aberration only. So we have got this one offshore supply vessel, but we are into this diving support vessel, which is a predominant business. And there is a demand for these vessels. As you mentioned rightly, that PRP-9 projects are there and some more projects are there. But the demand is quite a balanced kind of demand. So there is just shortage of maybe because one vessel here and there over a season of time, because these vessels are not required in that kind of number like supply vessels. So it is almost a very good equilibrium kind of thing that, okay, whatever the vessels are available and demand is almost all like that only. So if there is any some kind of shortage there, then only vessels are required from outside. So it is fairly balanced right now.
Got it. But again, sorry if I'm going too specific, but I'm just trying to understand this whole industry and also how should we benefit as CMAC as a company. If I were to pick up ONGC, for example, in your presentation, you shared that they have done 9 new discoveries in 2025. So if I were to understand, would per discovery be requiring 1 to 2 vessels or can it be much more than that? I'm just trying to call the number.
So I'll tell you, let's understand the business. We are neither in the process of identifying the oil wells, neither exploring. Okay. Our job comes the last. Once the discoveries are done, the wells have been established, the exploration has started, then we come as a partner for IMR, which is Inspection, Maintenance, and Repair. And then we stay till the last. Okay.
Yes.
Today, depending on how the discoveries are made, what is the infrastructure that is laid for exploration, that will decide what is the quantum of vessels that we operate will be required.
Okay, got it. And are we seeing increased competition in tenders for these vessels now or still the bidders are few and same as before?
Competition as usual it is there. You can't get the work on monopoly basis. So competition will always be there because whoever wants the services, they will like to have.
So are we seeing new competitors trying to come in buying new vessels? Are we seeing new competitors?
Well, there are no new competitors. As I told you earlier also, that okay, it is fairly balanced just now. The demand and supply are being met quite fairly. So there are no new competitors.
Okay.
Sorry for interrupting, Mr. Sahil. Please rejoin the queue for more questions. A reminder to all participants, please restrict yourself to 2 questions. A reminder to all participants that you may press star and 1 to ask questions. The next question is from the line of Rohan Mehta, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I just wanted to ask about the vessel utilization levels in terms of how these have been during this year and what can be expected for the next year, FY27, vessel utilization.
See, the vessel utilization as such is almost 100% dependent, barring off hires which happened due to dry dock and unscheduled breakdown, okay, and depending on the seasonal availability of the contract. You would have seen the announcements. We have added new business, which will definitely improve the top line by around 15% in the going forward period.
Okay, got it, sir. And sir, are there any partnerships or JVs or anything like that on the horizon in terms of maybe even offshore engineering opportunities?
Rohan, right now we would not like to speculate anything. In case something happens, definitely we'll make an announcement towards that.
Got it. And sir, if you could give some light on and your opinion on the overall global energy security concerns with the geopolitical tensions and everything, how that's affecting our business and what to expect over the next couple of quarters.
While the entire geopolitical situation has made it clear that with 15% in-house production, India cannot survive and hence India has to be more self-reliant in energy sector as well, which will definitely create a lot of business opportunities for CMAC and companies which are prevalent in energy sector. How things will shape up, probably after this whole episode settles down, things will be more clearer.
Got it. Understood, sir. Just lastly, are you seeing any pricing pressure or pressure from competition when you are bidding for offshore contracts?
No, not right now.
Okay. Any guidance that you might like to give for the next year in terms of top line or margin?
Well, I already said that we are expecting about 15% growth in top line and bottom line next year.
Okay, okay, great. Thank you. Thanks, sir. Thanks for taking my questions and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abdul Rape from Wealth Practices. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. First, I would like to congratulate the team on strong yearly performance. So I have few questions. The first one being regarding the two O&M contracts awarded from ONGC. It is in consortium with Supreme Hydro. So my question is, have both the contracts commenced operations? And also, could management clarify the revenue profit sharing with Supreme Hydro?
So, if you are monitoring the announcement on the stock exchange that we are making, so Samudra Sevak has already been taken over and it has started working. And same with the Samudra Prabha also, which has been taken over in May. And for it is for operational reason, it is just now in Mumbai getting all this changeover done. And by most likely by first week of June or something, it will she will go into the contract work. And we'll start earning the direct. And as far as...
Can you tell us about the...
Yeah.
Yes, sir. So could you tell about the profit sharing, sir?
So the share of this Supreme is around 10% into the consortium.
What scope of services are being provided by Supreme Hydro?
They are providing us the... technical know-how along with their manuals and some partners.
All right, sir. My next question is for FY27, vessels like CMX Swordfish and CMX Agastya are expected to contribute for the full year versus partial deployment that was last year, while CMX Anand is also likely to commence operations soon. And along with the two ONGC O&M contracts that we just talked about, would it be fair to expect an incremental revenue contribution of roughly 500 crores? And if so, then the revenue guidance for the next year of just 15% is, in my opinion, it would be, we would be doing much more than that. Is my assumption correct?
Sir, your assumption is not right, and I would not like to comment further beyond 15%. See, there are a lot of business decisions, timings. Like you would know that CMAC Paladin is still in Dubai, not operating. Okay, CMAC 2 is operating only till August 2026. So I have given a guidance, and I think the rest working you can do yourself.
Alright, sir. So my final question would be, are we currently in discussion for additional O&M contracts with ONGC or major other companies?
See, as in when we get new contracts, you will be the first person on stock exchange to be known.
All right, sir. So one last question. When can we expect the deployment of Anand?
See, sir, there are two, three things that are creating a hindrance because our Paladin is right now not in operations, not doing the business. If the Anand movement happens, again, it will also go out of field for some time, which ONGC will not permit. There are some more complications. So we see one more quarter maybe by the time Anand will come to our fleet.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nishita Sanklesha from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. I just had one question. In FY27, do we plan to procure any more vessels?
Yeah, see, there are some intimation already which is known to everyone that CMAC Anand, we have already told that okay, we will be acquiring. So that is already a known fact to everybody. Apart from that, we continue to look for suitable unit as and when we find something which is going to add value to the stakeholders. So definitely we will be going for that acquisition. But right now nothing is specific or specified in the pipeline.
Okay, and the funding of that will be done from internal accruals only?
Again, that is depending upon the transaction, and whatever is best for the stakeholder, that will be done.
Okay, okay, understand. And what is the total CapEx amount that we've done in FY26 and the amount that we plan to do in FY27?
So we have done about 300 crores CapEx in FY26. In FY27, as Naveenji just mentioned, the Anant is roughly about $70 million, which is the scheduled CapEx.
Okay, okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask questions. The next question is from the line of Tejas, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, sir, you are. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for the good set of numbers to you and your team, sir. Just to take from what the previous participant said, since the sale is Samudram Prava, our share is 90%. Is that the correct understanding? Did I hear it correctly?
Yeah, so what we have mentioned is already that 10% of the consortium share is there, but then there will be subcontracting cost and other costs and all those things will be there. But yes, technically what you heard is correct.
Okay, and sir, how is this payment? Is it like milestone based or like will you get billing quarterly because the value is 348 and 270 CR and
yeah.
It's more than 2 years, roughly 2 years contract. So how do you get the payment for these?
Payment is same like our other vessels, so it is on monthly basis. So we bill to ONGC at the end of the month and as per the agreed payment term, they make the payment to us.
Okay, so it is divided like equally, if I understand correctly, per month, the amount,
yeah,
roughly.
Yeah, correct.
Okay. And sir, you mentioned that obviously Paladin is still stuck in Dubai. What about Princess? Because I believe the Princess is off from 21st April. So that is still remains unhired. Is that understanding correct?
No. The Princess was offered for the specific segment of work which we have contacted in between. But the broader contact with L&T is continuing and the vessel is still working.
And that continues the previous old rate,
correct.
The charter rate of Princess.
Yeah.
And sir, can you confirm CMS Diamond's rate that we have offered, the current rate that you are offering Diamond at?
There has been no change from the regulation which was made at the time of commencement of the contract. So there is no change of that.
So, to be very specific, this is 800-750.
8,750. Sorry, sir, can you not able to hear you? Can you come back again?
8,750
a day. Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Mahesh Kumar from MG Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello. So I'm audible. Thank you for the opportunity, sir.
Thank you.
So I had three questions. First on the revenue and the EBITDA. So we had a very good, you know, strong revenue in FY26, around 682 crores, 2000 crores, and EBITDA margin have also improved nearly 5.5%. Should, like, as an investor, should we see this earnings level, like sustainable earnings level, and can margin fluctuate depending on the vessel deployment and the dry docking, you know, schedule?
See, while we gave a guidance that we should be doing about 15% growth in revenue, the margin should be in the range of 40-42%.
Okay, okay. And recently, like, we acquired CMAC Agastya and also we're looking for acquisition of CMAC. And how much additional revenue potential can these vessels generate and what utilization level are you targeting, you know, over the next 2-3 years?
See, both the vessels are already on charter with ONGC, so deployment will not be issue. Depending on when CMAC Anand comes to CMAC's fold, will clarify the potential of revenue. And Agastya is doing full revenue next year, that is for sure.
Okay, okay, okay. And lastly, so what percentage of revenue currently comes from, you know, international markets? And how do you plan to diversify the client base further in regions like Middle East?
About 10-15% is the revenue that comes from international market, and definitely depending on the vessel availability, we would like to tap that market.
Okay, sir, that's it from my side. Thank you so much. And
thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rishi Kotari from Capital Bridge Advisor. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. Just wanted to know, in terms of the growth that we are expecting for next year,
correct? Yes.
What sorts of risk that could hinder our growth? What potential risk that management see in terms of business for us? Because of course the industry that we are involved is pretty much volatile in nature, right? So what risk factor we have considered for the business?
See, there is a war that's going on for last 3 years. There is a new escalation that has happened recently. We don't know what will happen. One of the vessels is stuck in Dubai, depending on how this situation percolates. This can be a risk. There is another vessel which is right now running profitability in Saudi Aramco. If situation aggravates, that can be a risk. Other than that, we generally do not see any major risk. Or there can be a risk of rupee strengthening.
Okay. So in terms of business understanding, we just want to confirm that post any sort of oil and gas company have actually discovered the oil or in the oil fields, correct? Post that, whatever sort of extraction part comes into picture, that's where we as a business come in, correct for them?
Yeah, correct.
So that's where we our business is, we post discovery and everything, for extraction, you know, oil maintenance and everything, that's where we have the business, that's where they hire us as a ship and an operator.
Sorry, your voice is not coming clear, so I'm not able to understand the query.
Audible properly now?
Yeah, now it is much better.
Yeah, just want to understand that when the oil and gas company actually explores the oil in the oil fields, right? Post that, when it comes to extraction and maintenance of that oil field, that's where our vessels come into picture as a business for them.
Correct.
Okay. And do we don't see any sort of risks related to business purchase? If at all I look at as a competitive landscape, are there any other companies involved in the same business?
No, we do not look at any kind of risk right now. And apart from, see, we are one of the largest ship owner of these diving support vessels. And as far as others are concerned, they are like one vessel owner or two vessel owner kind of companies are there. So we got a bigger fleet of these DSCs.
Okay, understood. So we don't see any sort of competitive or competition process because from anyone in the industry.
Yeah.
Any sort of foreign players or MNC players we look at, or it's just purely no competition at all for the business geography that we work in?
No, it never happened that we will not have any kind of competition. Competition will be there, but since we have one of the largest fleet of vessels, we have got our own strength, and which that's why there are clients which have been working with us for quite a long period of time. So certain edge are there based on which we are able to get the business. And foreign vessel owner, again, because it is our home turf and there are certain protections provided by the government as well as the entry barriers. So they are not that much keen on coming into India.
Okay, understood. And that's where we think that it's one of the competitive advantages that company carries.
Of course, this is one of the things, but besides that, all the work is obtained on the competitive basis only. Unless we are providing a competitive package, nobody is going to take that package.
And this is the rate of this package, with the rental per day, whatever things we charge to the client, it is decided based on market conditions, demand and supply. How is it? Is it a we are a price maker or a price taker for our price in terms of charging it?
No, it is neither the price maker or something like it. It is the discovered price. Our client who has got the job, they bid on the basis of some different kind of thing, and then if the cost package is viable to them, then they definitely take the work with us. And as far as ONGC is concerned, the charter rate, they base it or benchmark it against the international charter rate.
So there are two different pricing mechanisms for our clients to charge in a way.
Yeah, so when we say the charter higher kind of rate at ONGC or other vessel owner, so it is that benchmarking as an international rate. And when we are taking the spot market, that EPC kind of job, so the price of the entire package, which they benchmark it against their own internal estimate.
Okay. And this is the.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tejas, an individual investor.
Thank you for the opportunity, again, sir. So, regarding our UK investment, so we had, I recall that last year we had done this to ensure to get more business from Europe. Hello.
Yeah, we are listening.
Yeah. So, we were trying to get more business from Europe. And because we believe the Norway and etc. had better rates. But we see an impairment charge in this subsidy right now. So have we abandoned that or what is the progress on the UK subsidy? Where are we in that? If you can just share some light on that.
See, we have not abandoned anything. The only thing is because of the current geopolitical situation, on a prudent basis, we have just taken that impairment. Otherwise, there is no potential impact.
This is just our accounting adjustment. Nothing
okay.
is hampering us in terms of projected execution.
So what's the progress in that, sir? Are we close to getting any contracts? Are we pitching anything? Do we see any progress? If you can share some inputs, insights on that.
See, right now, we would like to refrain from it. As soon as we get some contract, we'll definitely announce, but the endeavor of the management and the company is that CMAC should be a growth-oriented company and contribute to the nation's growth. We have done it in 2026. We are confident for 27-28, and we'll do every best effort which is in the interest of the company and its stakeholders.
Okay. And sir, when we have these our vessels being deployed and, you know, for some reason when there is a top fire for 10 days, 12 days.
Correct.
For technical issues. So in that case, does that 10, 12 days amount get deducted from our value or do you have to separately compensate to ONGC? How does it work? On a broad level.
When the vessel is on off fire, company is not being paid for those off fire days.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you so much. That is my question.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask question. The next question is from the line of Anya, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, could you please share some details about the MSD Samudra Prabha contract and MSD Samudra Prabha contract? Like, what kind of revenue potential and margins can we expect?
See, we have already announced these contracts and the revenue potential of both the contracts and the tenure of the contract is already declared on the stock exchange. I think that filing you can download or reach out to our IR agency, they'll provide it.
And both the contracts are up to 31st of March 2028.
So the second question is for FY27, results are scheduled for dry dock during the month season. Can you share the roadmap for dry dock and the expenses?
So, three of our own vessels are due for dry docking, and two of these vessels which we have taken from ONGC, that O&M contract which we have taken, so they will also be going for a dry docking during the year.
Well,
thank you. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amish Kanani from Novice Investment Manager. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Amish Kanani, good afternoon.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Amish sir. Could you please come more closer to your answer?
Yeah.
Sorry, Amish sir, your voice is breaking.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah. First of congrats on a very good set of numbers. Sir, if I remember in Q3, you said, you know, Q3 margins were, you know, relatively high and peak.
Correct.
And you were kind of questioning us for not assuming such kind of high margins. But, you know, Q4 has been margin at a much higher level. the question is, and there was some one-off in Q3, if I remember correctly, either on the expense or revenue line item. And still, you know, our Q4 numbers are very good. So the first question, sir, is there any, again, one-off in Q4 which we need to, you know, kind of be aware of? And hence, you know, you are guiding a lower level of margins for next year?
We are not guiding any lower level margins. Please understand, when we cautioned you in Q3, that has actually happened. CMAC Paladin has not operated for Q4. And even Q1, we are not seeing the operations till date. Okay. So, depending on the dry dock schedule and depending on the mix of the contracts, the margin profile may vary between 2-3%. But what we are saying, we are still be maintaining a stable margin of 40-42%. That is the guidance. We are not reducing our margin guidance. Secondly, there is no one-off in Q4. However, since we have raised this, Paladin is still stuck there. So, for April, May, we are not seeing the revenue from there. Depending on the geopolitical situation, will be clear in for June.
Okay. Just so one quick question and explanation in the SMC. In the third and the fourth quarter, numbers are pretty high in and Q2 is seasonally off, right? So what my question was, two parts. One, there is, and also there is a benefit of, sir, rupee depreciation that, you know, you would have got.
Correct.
So in that context, sir, one, you know, annual margins, you know, will be lower than the Q3 and Q4 margin that we have posted. So that is what I was referring to, an annual margin which is lower than the average of Q3 and Q4.
No.
That's
so
where
I'm saying, we generally don't talk about quarterly margins because there can be quarterly aberrations. Annually is what I'm saying because, see, this is a big function. While absolute EBITDA will always grow, but depending on the EPC business grows or IMR business grows, so we generally guide that the margin profile is in the range of 40-42%. A 1 or 2% higher depending on the utilization is always welcome.
Okay. And sir, two quick two clarification. So CMAC 1 and 2 were old, you know, vessel, and maybe we are assuming some higher dry dock or off-hire kind of a situation. And in that context, sir, my understanding, if you can clarify whether the O&M, you know, margins, the new, you know, two vessels that we have announced, which is only, you know, O&M margins, will that be at a higher margin or blended EBITDA margin for the year is what, you know, we should put in?
So the blended EBITDA margin is more relevant because, see, depending on off-hire, depending on seasonality, things can really change. So what our intention is that we should grow revenues, we should maintain margin or improve margin on an annualized basis, which is still the case. And despite this war going on, we are saying that next year number should be encouraging.
Okay, and sir, one last clarification, CMAC 1 and 2, have we assumed a very conservative?
It is CMAC
2 and 3.
2 and 3.
Sorry. 2 and 3. Sorry, 2 and 3. 2 and 3. So, have we assumed any aggressive, you know, off-hire and off-sense thing? And maybe with this kind of condition, there is a surprise on the upside? Just as a
CMAC 2, as one of my colleagues would have said, is right now contracted till August 2026.
Sure.
Okay. Post August 26, it will go for a small dry dock, and then depending on the market conditions, we'll see whether we can deploy it on a spot market contract. CMAC 3, we believe that it did exceptionally well in this FY26, and we believe and we are confident that the performance should continue for FY27 as well.
Okay, that explains quite a bit of thing. Thanks a lot, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sahil Dasani from MAPL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity again. Just to confirm what you... Hello?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah, just to confirm what you said last time, the rate of diamond vessel is right now at $8,000 to $10,000, and when it comes for renewal, it may increase 10-15%. But when I see similar OSVs currently in use in the spot market, they are going at 17 to 20 lakhs per day, which is more than double our rate. So why do you think there is this difference, and how should we understand this?
we'll be happy to know which vessels of similar capabilities are getting this kind of rate. If you have any info,
yeah. Ocean, Diamond and Emerald, these two vessels.
No, they are higher capacity vessels and they are not being used as a supply vessels. They are mostly, if I recollect, they are on the geotech work and those kind of well stimulation work they have been done. So that's why they are getting more better number of rates. So they are capability wise, size wise, they are much bigger than the Diamond.
Okay. Yeah, got it. Okay. And similarly, you were just speaking about us supplying to Aramco. We know you supply ONGC. So I would like to understand how easy or tough it is to get approved by vendors like ONGC, Reliance, Aramco, ADNOC, and get them to and start supplying them with vessels. Because I believe this is very critical work that our vessels usually do.
Yeah, it is a very lengthy process and it is quite a difficult process. So that's why these are the entry barriers, which companies enjoy, like for working for ONGC, now we are working for so many years now. So we have got that advantage of pre-qualification. Similarly, now we are working with Aramco. So there also we have already created a track record of working for more than a year, almost like a year. So these are, once you have delivered this, then only you will be able to bid directly to ONGC. Like we will not be, right now we will not be able to bid directly to Aramco, but our vessel is working, which is creating a track record.
Okay.
So this is how you get qualified for bidding directly.
But how long would it take according to you to get approved by such high level vendors like ONGC or Aramco?
It varies from vendor to vendor. Each vendor has got their own set of qualification requirements, which will be for the vessel also, which will be for the company also. So these are different kind for each client.
Got it. Okay. And based on whatever I just from this call is that based on the shortage that we are seeing in the offshore segment and which you have also been saying, and hence for the next 2-3 years, we will see a buoyancy in rates for the particular comment you said. So are we looking to aggressively expand in this segment, or do you think the current market situation is not a good plan to end to add more offshore vessels at these premium rates maybe?
No. We definitely are seeing a growth in the market and shortage is there. But we are definitely not chasing the growth aggressively because these are all high capex items and not the small value. And once the growth tapers down, then it will become a drag on the balance sheet and we don't want to do that one. So we are happy to just expand the fleet and keep it deployed. That is much more advantageous to us rather than having a large fleet and then which is sitting idle.
Clear. Okay. Got it. And for example, one of the previous participants asked you regarding the upcoming ONGC tender for which you said you will announce it with time. But if I were to just go a bit global, because of all this war, we have seen a lot of oil and gas infra getting impacted in UAE, in Dubai, and more on the Middle East side. So are we seeing more inquiries flowing in and hence enhancing the shortage of these vessels even more, or still no inquiries, no demand? No increased demand from that market yet?
See, there will be definitely demand which will be coming because right now the situation is, it is just not closed. Rather, due to this ongoing issues, there are some pause which has taken place that even though damage has taken place, but nobody wants to repair those damage or increase their requirement because nobody knows that how long this is going to continue. So till the time this issue settles down, you won't be seeing any kind of immediate kind of requirement, but yes, the requirement is going to go up from there now.
Okay, got it. Yeah, that would be all for me, sir. Thank you very much for answering all my questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Tejas, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
So thank you for taking my questions again. Regarding, can you just share what was the contribution from our subsidiaries in top line and bottom line for FY26?
See, there is no major contribution of our subsidiaries for FY26. Basically, we have pruned down the operations in Dubai. Okay, we have sold a vessel last year, and yes, there is another vessel which we might be selling in the coming year. idea is that we should strengthen and focus on our core business and grow that business from strength to strength.
So, sir, are you referring to either Pearl or Gallant to be sold off next year? So, those are two bulk carriers that we have.
So, one we are definitely looking at, depending on the market conditions. Post this war scenario, let the market open and then we'll be able to guide it properly.
Okay, so, but we'll retain one. So, we'll either Pearl or Gallant will retain and one will sold.
Yes.
That's the plan, isn't it?
Yes.
So currently there's no revenue being generated from those. Is it fair to assume so? And this the current period of time.
We take this as the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
I thank you all the investors who have joined in for this investor call, and hope that all the queries has been reasonably replied to. Thank you. For anything else, you can definitely get back to our team for getting further information. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Arihant Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.